Take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter number 1. In preparation of the message, I would like to remind you that the world seems to be in a chaotic state. Apparently around the world there's disarray. And in fulfillment of the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talks about nations in distress in a world of confusion. But the church of the living God ought to be living in the victory. We ought to be encouraged. When we see these things, we're commanded by God to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. The spirit of fear is not the spirit of the God we serve. He's a God of deliverance, a God of hope, and a God of grace. In Revelation, we're encouraged to read these words about the last days and not to be intimidated or to be frightened, but to actually be comforted by the fact that God pre-recorded these coming events. You say, well, Pastor Ralph, I'm not sure I really am involved in Bible prophecy. I'm not really interested. Well, we're not talking about Walt Disney World. We're not talking about Harry Potter. We're not talking about spooky and ghostly things. We're not even talking about Ghostbusters. We're talking about the inerrant, infallible, holy, inspired Word of God. And God made a promise when He talked about the book of Revelation. It's very interesting. Read it with me. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Isn't it interesting what God is reinforcing here? I don't know if you've ever paid attention on a football field when they huddle up. Well, a long time ago, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and John huddled up. And in the huddle, they told John some things to encourage us that we would not live in defeat, we would not live in discouragement, we would not live in depression. Yes, it's a scary world outside the church door. Yes, things are seemingly coming unraveled. But if you know God is in charge of those events, your heart will be comforted. You say, well, Pastor, I've just never really thought of myself as a prophetic student or a student of prophecy. Well, if you read the Bible, you're a student of prophecy because 27% of your Bible is prophecy. It's prophesying things that will come to pass. Notice verse number 3 of chapter 1. Blessed is he that what? Readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. The comfort that you have this Sunday is the fact that the time is at hand. Some of you have lived long enough to see world events cascade and change into unbelievable things. Whoever dreamed when we used to read Bible prophecy and we'd wonder, how in the world can two preachers be killed in Jerusalem and the whole world see it? Well, it's the same way that some guy can get drug off an airplane and the whole world see it. It's the technology has changed. And everybody's got an iPhone and they can make a video and instantly it can go viral and travel around the world. You're actually living in the fulfillment of those prophecies. Revelation chapter 13, we used to struggle to explain and to understand how we could get down to verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding know about this numbering of the beast and how everyone in the world could have a number. But now it's not that complicated. Not with Watson and IBM and all the technology of the world. It's very simply understood and capable our technology is of handling these assignments. Well, this morning, I want you to follow with me as we travel from the book of Genesis into the book of Revelation. And that's the way I titled it, Genesis into Revelation. When I go to Revelation 1:3, this is the only book of the Bible that contains a prophecy that says that God will bless you for reading. Out of 66 books in the Bible, one book in the Bible is given this guarantee of blessing. And he said, I will bless you. And what you have is involvement with God's Word. That God wants me to be a student of the Word. He wants you to be a student of the Word. And we are not to come to the house of God and be a spectator. A lot of times we just walk into church and we say, let someone sing for me. Someone pray for me. And someone teach me. And then I'll go home. But this is not something that we're to come in and to be a spectator. This isn't a basketball game or a baseball game. This is worship. I'm to be involved. You are to be involved. We are to read together, study together, pray together, and sing together. And God said, if we do that, he said, I'll bless you. Blessed is he that readeth the word, and they that hear. And then notice what he says, those that keep these things. So God wants me to read. God wants me to study. God wants me involved. Because if I do that, they that hear the words of this prophecy. And then he adds a P.S. on that blessing. And keep those things which are written therein. One of the greatest challenges that you have and that I have is to be found faithful when the Lord comes. You know what happens? We get tired. We don't want to admit that, but we get tired spiritually. We get tired emotionally. You know, you've met people that were on fire for God 5 years ago, and they don't even go to church today. What happened to them? Were they not saved? Oh, they were saved, but they just grew weary in well-doing. I've seen people that were in the ministry and preaching the Word of God, and 10 years later, they're out of the ministry, and they're spectators. And you know what happened? They grew weary in well-doing. It's very difficult for every one of us on an everyday basis to stay encouraged. That's why God made sure that we understood David and his walk with God. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. It wasn't up to someone else to encourage David. David got along with God. David read the Bible. David prayed. And David encouraged himself because David... Oh, was not David reminded how weak his flesh is? Was David not reminded how easy it is to sin? Was David not reminded how easy it is to backslide? Yes, he knew the weakness of the flesh. Yes, he knew how fragile we are in that relationship. And so because of that, David said, I can't wait till we get to church. I can't wait till some friend is with me. I cannot wait till we're in a worship service. I've got to be encouraged every day. I don't want to make that mistake. I don't want to fall. I want to be encouraged. And every day he had a time with God to encourage himself. And why? Because the time is at hand. You're living in this time. I'm living in this time. And we need to see what is happening. And it's amazing in 7 days. We were here last Sunday. But it's amazing in 7 days all that has transpired under this heading of biblical prophecy. It's amazing what all has happened. Let's go to the nation's capital for just a moment. And we're talking about it's only been just a few days since the new administration went into the White House. But let's pass the Congress and let's pass the Senate and let's look at the city and the people. How many people realize this week in Washington they had a full-scale terror attack drill? Mike, that means that everybody that's involved in law enforcement went on full alert. That means that everybody in the U.S. Marshal's office, that means that everybody in Homeland Defense, that means that everybody at the Pentagon, that means that everyone that's involved in any type of official position is responsible for the safety and well-being of our nation's capital and the heartbeat of our government. They went on a full terror attack drill. And you see there at the bottom, you see the White House, the Capitol building in the background. You see those that are in the chemical warfare suits. And you see all of that happened since you were here last Sunday. But at the same time, we saw that outside of our nation, that there was a breach of security. And what happened in a matter of moments? Listen.
A U.S. Navy destroyer had another close encounter with an Iranian Revolutionary Guard fast attack craft in the Persian Gulf today. Two U.S. officials telling Fox News the guided missile destroyer USS Mahan, that actually happened Monday, altered course to avoid the Iranian warship. We're just getting details about this at this hour. They sounded a danger signal, fired flares, manned the weapons when the Iranian ship sped toward the U.S. warship with its own...
Can you imagine that since we were here last Sunday? And where did that happen? The Straits of Hormuz. I remember when my dad was teaching and preaching on Bible prophecy, one of the places he always referred to was the Straits of Hormuz because it's such a choke point. If you look at the aerial view, all you've got to do is sink an oil tanker right in the shallow end of those straits, and you choke the whole world's oil supply out of the Persian Gulf and militarily. And since we were here last Sunday, we saw those things happen. And isn't it amazing? We saw the book of Genesis, and we had Abram there in the Ur of Chaldees. Well, where is the Ur of Chaldees? Just go right up above the Straits of Hormuz. You're in Iraq. And that is where Abram was called out of the Ur of Chaldees. And look what we've done through time. We've made a big old giant circle. And now we're back to where it all began. This is the Tower of Babel. This is Genesis chapter number 11. You're seeing the prophecy of the Word of God. And since you were here last Sunday morning, all of these events, not one, not two, all of these events have been in the news in a matter of hours. Why? Because the Word of God says that the time is at hand. And look what happened in Tokyo, Japan, that one city, 13,600,000 people in one city. 13 million people in one city. Can you imagine that? But something happened in that city this week since we were here last Sunday. What did they discover? They discovered that a threat was given by North Korea, that they could reach Tokyo, Japan in 10 minutes, from North Korea to Tokyo, Japan. And you see the arrow pointing to North Korea. You see the arrow pointing to Japan. And even since an ultimatum was given this week by the UN and by those meeting there in Washington, D.C., that there should be no more testing or provocations. And yet this week we've had two more missiles launched out of North Korea, one of them into the Sea of Japan. So since you were here Sunday, what's happened in Korea and now what has happened in Japan, and now even the little nation is under threat.
School children at play, overseen by teachers who sometimes join in the fun, until they're suddenly interrupted. At the sound of the siren, children hit the deck and wait for further instructions. This is a drill, a loudspeaker announces. A missile has been launched. This is Japan's first missile evacuation exercise, a simulation preparing people for the threat of a possible North Korean missile strike against this country.
Can you believe that? This week, they started a missile test drill. And some of you that are older, You remember being in school during the Cold War when we had to get under our desk and we had to have the drill because we were afraid of a nuclear attack and every school had to have a bomb shelter? Well, can you believe we've gone full circle again and we're seeing for this generation? And why is this happening? The Bible talks about as we approach the coming of the Lord, we can begin to see these events take place. And now they've threatened to sink the aircraft carrier, Carl Vinson. And that begins to talk to us about another threat that's given. Now watch this from North Korea. Whoever believed in a modern world that we would gather hundreds of people in an auditorium and show simulation of missiles being launched against a country, landing in Alaska, landing in Hawaii, landing in Seattle, landing in L.A., and the crowd begin to cheer when people are dying under a nuclear warhead. I mean, that's mind-boggling. But, and what it proves, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're living in a day when there is no peace and safety. They're talking peace and safety, and yet I'm walking you around the globe this Sunday morning, and I'm telling you there's no place to run and there's no place to hide. You better know the Lord, and you better know the Word of God, and you better know that there is a time and a day when God said you would live to see the time at hand. We've left Asia now, the Pacific Rim, and we're now moved to the Middle East. And since last Sunday, Hamas vowed to destroy Israel. Once again, they said, we're going to get rid of the little nation of Israel. And that little island of democracy surrounded by all of that hostility. And did anyone notice what happened this week? In breach of the Iranian agreement, Iran loaded military planes with missiles and weapons, flew them from Baghdad to Damascus, Syria, and began to unload them and offload them as a gift to Hamas to be taken over the border into Lebanon to launch an attack against Israel. And what did Israel do? Well, they intercepted them at the Damascus airport and destroyed them. They actually launched an attack. Since you were here, Isaiah 17 said there would be war and fighting in the land of Syria at the city. God so explicitly, he even named the city of Damascus in the prophecy by name. And here it is in the news. Israel strikes arms depot near Damascus airport. And so you're living this. You're seeing this. This isn't a fairy tale. And what seems to be the controversy? Why, it's this little piece of real estate. It's the city of Jerusalem. It's the nation of Israel. And you see that golden dome building? That's called the Dome of the Rock. But inside that golden dome, if I could walk you in there together as a church family this morning, do you know what we would find under that golden dome? There's nothing under there. There's just a big old outcropping of rock. That's all that's in there. It's just a piece of rock. But it's not just any rock. It's the rock that Abraham offered Isaac on. It's the rock that David threshed wheat on. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the rock that was a part of the first temple and the second temple. And if you study with the old rabbis there, they love telling me, I love to get with them there at the Western Wall, and they begin to get animated and talking, and they'll say, and Jehovah God stood upon this rock, and he raised his hands, and the first thing he created was the rock under his feet, which is this rock. And he said, the the world went out from this location. And he said, and when he reached down and got the dust of the earth to create Adam and Eve, it was the dirt around this rock that he picked up, and he made man into his own image. I'm telling you, and the whole world is still focused on this piece of real estate. And we've gone from Genesis all the way back. We're seeing now from creation to completion. You are so blessed to be alive this Sunday morning, because you can read about the creation and you can read about the completion in Revelation. And now you can say, and God has allowed me to be alive when these prophecies are being fulfilled. And you think about all the trouble and all the heartache. You think about the pain, even that's taken place in Syria, and even the cruelty of being divided between the Sunni and the Shias, and those Matthew 24, where it talks about kingdom against kingdom, the Sunni kingdom and the Shia kingdom, and the gassing of innocent children and the death there. And you think about what's happened since last Sunday. We've seen Turkey, supposedly a member of NATO, and yet they bombed our allies there, the Kurds and the Christians that are located inside of Syria. And what happened this week in Iraq? You see them taking the cross off the church there in Iraq. And you see in Iran the beheading of the Christian there in Iran. And then you see ISIS up in the peninsula there of Egypt in the Sinai. You see them executing dozens of Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, if I were a Christian in the Middle East, I would be convinced I'm living in the tribulation. I would be convinced that I'm living in the last moments of the last days. And here we are today, and our biggest burden is, where will we have lunch? What will we do on Sunday afternoon? Will it be NASCAR, or will it be baseball, or will it be ice cream? And we don't even know how to thank God properly for the blessing that we're enjoying today. We ought to beg God to touch us and to give us revival for this day and for this generation, that we can be salt and light, that I won't be a spectator when the Lord comes, but I'll be the branding iron of deliverance that God promised that the church should be. That we would not be on the sidelines, that we would be on the battlefield for the Lord, and we would be boldly declaring the good news. I was dead, but now I'm alive in Him. I was blind, but now I can see because of Him. I was crippled by sin and in bondage as a slave, but Jesus passed by and set me free. The power of God and the emancipation of a holy God to liberate us from the bondage of sin and to set us free to be alive in this day and this hour. You think about what the Christians just went through on Easter Sunday there in Egypt. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just overseas, it's just not the Middle East, it's not just Africa in the Sudan where they're suffering, it's not just Asia. Ladies and gentlemen, there's Princeton, West Virginia, and already this week this little family since Sunday has come under attack by the ACLU and other liberal organizations because they have a Bible class at the public school after hours. No government money, no state money, no county money. This couple, using their own money, started a Bible class. And because it's become so popular, a majority of the students that go to this school go to this Bible class. Isn't that amazing? They want to know the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that what God's saying, if you'll just look at the news, if you'll just listen, if you'll just read the paper, if you'll just pick up the New York Times or the Washington Post or the LA or the London Times, if you'll just read around the globe and just look at what's happening, you'll see that the time is at hand. God's saying, I want you to be alert. I want you to pay attention how close we are. And one of the greatest proofs that's been given to us is the Word of God, the power of God's Word. Look with me at the book of Genesis. Genesis begins with paradise. And the book of Revelation, it ends with paradise. Remember I said from Genesis into Revelation? And what did we have in Genesis? We had the tree of life lost in Genesis chapter number 3. In Revelation, we've got the tree of life regained in Revelation 22 and verse number 2. And what about in Genesis? We see the revelation of man's rebellion. Man rebels against God. But in the book of Revelation, we see the end of man's rebellion. And he bows down. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm alive and you're alive to see all of these events coming into play. In the book of Genesis, we see the sorrow of sin. In Revelation, we see God wiping away all tears, all pain, all suffering, all that sin brought into the world. We're now coming up to the time when God shall remove it. In Genesis, we see the first death. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 8. In Revelation 21, we see the declaration of no more death because of the prophecy of the Word of God. The book of Genesis introduces Satan in the Garden of Eden. In the book of Revelation, we see Satan and the false prophet have bound hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire because the rule of Lucifer has now ended and the day of the devil has now been defeated. In the book of Genesis, you see creation, you see God's might, God's power, God's sovereignty, God's authority, the creation of the heavens and the earth, and with great anointing and with great authority. In Revelation 21, I see this same God that made the heaven and made the earth. I see this same God creating a new heaven and a new earth. And this old mud ball of sin will be washed with the flaming fire of a purging three times holy God. And there will be an establishment of a new day and a new God's power on this planet earth for all of us to witness the authority of His name. The book of Genesis declares that night and sea are created in Genesis chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 21, we see God declaring no more night and no more sea. But boy, is my heart not encouraged when I see a bride to Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, God puts Adam to sleep and then takes a rib out from under his heart. And when Adam wakes up, God introduces him to his wife. And he said, I want you to meet your helpmate. I want you to meet Eve. He said, here is your bride. I planned this bride. I purposed this bride. I now have provided this bride. And now I go from Genesis down to the book of Revelation and I find a bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this same God looks out over this auditorium today and He sees you and He says, I planned this bride. I purposed this bride. I provided this bride. And I will provide the way home for you to be with Him forever and forever. Glory to His name. He's worthy of all power and all authority. And when I see Him and I understand Him, I begin to realize in Genesis, this little Isaac's laying there and he looks up with Dad with innocent eyes and he says, Daddy, where's the lamb? Surely, Daddy, you're not going to kill me. Surely, I'm not going to be the lamb. And God provided a lamb in Genesis 22:7. And when I get to the book of Revelation, I find out that God provided a lamb, that my sins could be covered by the blood, that I could be forgiven, that I could go free. And God gave His only begotten Son. And now the lamb has been provided, and the lamb rules and reigns, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for time and for eternity. There's no other answer for us than to shout glory and to say the time is at hand. And God said, I'll bless you, I'll love you, I'll honor you for reading this word and declaring this word and keeping this word, because the time is at hand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The Word of God is so wonderful. And God's so good to give us the truth of His Word that we could find comfort. But the challenge for me and the challenge for you is to be faithful. I can intellectually know and understand these things, but get cold and careless. Quit praying, quit reading, even attending church like I know I should. And God has provided this morning an opportunity for us to be in His house and to be together, to be encouraged, that you can know that you know. You see, if I really believe the time is at hand, I don't want to wait till tomorrow to get right, or next week, or next Sunday. Because before we go to our cars, Jesus could come. Is there one person this morning say, Pastor Ralph, I'm not saved, I'm not sure I'm saved, will you pray for me? I just want to know how to pray this morning. No one will come to you and embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray for you. Would you just slip that hand up for prayer? God bless you, sir. Is there another one? Anywhere in the auditorium, just be that tender. Thank you. God bless you. Just be tender-hearted to the Holy Spirit. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. I appreciate that courage. I really do. I know that's tough to do. You're sitting with family and friends. Now raise your hand and say, I need Jesus. But boy, wouldn't this be a great day to be saved? A great day to have peace that passes understanding. Is there one to say, Brother Ralph, I believe I've been saved, but I've gotten away from the Lord. I'm out of fellowship. I'm not living like I should. God spoke to me. Would you slip that hand up for prayer? Thank you. Is there another one anywhere? Thank you, sir. God bless your courage. Another one? Thank you, ma'am. Is there another one? God bless you. How many Christians would join with me in saying, Brother Ralph, I'm saved. I believe the Bible. But it has been tough. It's tough to read. It's tough to pray. I need personal revival. And this morning I see that the time is at hand. I want that revival for my heart. Would you put your hand up with mine? God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Well, here's what let's do. Let's stand together quietly and reverently. And Christians, let's reverse the order. Why don't you come and pray for your family? Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Why don't you come and pray for your son, your daughter, your grandchild, what, your best friend? You know, I don't want to leave anyone I love behind, do you? You just come. Let's pray together. Let's agree together. And if you're one of those that raised your hand, our pastors are already in the altar and our deacons are here. And you just hold up your hand, they'll be happy to pray with you. You just come on. Brother Doug's going to lead us in a hymn and we'll pray together, all right?